Hey everyone, nice to see you. Oh, we got a few more folks arriving. Lovely, lovely. Welcome to Tina and Adrian, your first supervision support call, graduates from our 2023 class. It's really lovely to see you. Welcome. You're in really good hands, really good company. So a couple of admin things and then we'll get into it. And I have one request from Steph to address. If anyone else has something that they're bringing today, please just give me a wave in the chat so I know that you need some support today. And we'll just do a first come, first served as usual. So two admin things. The first is, if you have had a little look at the graduate site, and Adrian and Tina may or may not have access to that yet, but we are in the process of sorting out the structure of that site. It was developed by a very enthusiastic developer who made it, I think, hyper complicated. I didn't have time to manage it and figured how hard can it be? Well, it turns out quite hard. Turns out you can actually overcomplicate something to the point where it's almost unworkable. So anyhow, Kay and I have been sorting that out. We've got rid of a lot of stuff and we're hoping that it's going to make it a bit easier to work around. So that is in progress and will be sorted over the next couple of weeks. If you've ever got in touch with Kay and said, "How the hell do I find this thing?" We're hoping that this will resolve some of those questions and just make it easier for you all. So thank you for bearing with us. It's one of those things where you just think, "Well, we'll build it and it can't be that hard, and then we'll adjust as we go because it doesn't have to be perfect." But it's taken quite some work to refigure the thing. Anyway. So that's one thing, the graduate site is being redesigned. The second thing is that you will have received an email invitation from me probably yesterday about supervision, small supervision groups. And I just wanted to let you know the difference between this and that. So these calls, these supervision support calls, they happen monthly. You can bring anything you like to these, and that may feel sufficient for your needs, depending on your business and where you're at, what other support you may be receiving. If you want to do something that is a little deeper and richer, it's more intimate, it's stretchier, you will also be coaching each other in a small group. It's a way, I think, of I've been part of a small group supervision group for about 6 years, and it's so good. Like it's a real resting place for growth for me, and it's taken a while to kind of get to that. So I as you probably know, really love long-term rich deep stuff. That I think is where the goodness happens. So if you wanted to explore that and you want to have a conversation with me about it, please do get in touch. I'm secretly just sending the booking links to SBCA folks first to prioritize you because there's only going to be 12 places. The timing may work better for you if you're in the States and Canada because I'll be in New Zealand next year. It'll be an evening call for UK folks, and I totally appreciate that. May or may not suit you. If you are looking for a supervisor and you want me to recommend people, and the timing for this doesn't suit, please do get in touch, and I can happily send you off to people that I trust. But yeah, I'm super happy to chat to anyone who wants to explore that further. So yeah, okay. Stephanie, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. And I will just say, I've had a supervisor the past 2 years, and like you promised, it was a total freaking game changer. And thank you so much for the push to do that. So, yeah, I just love it. So my question is about the way that I typically do coaching is like, I do a lot of stuff up front with them, values, their big picture desires, that sort of stuff. Sometimes I do the self-doubt archetypes, but then I don't sell packages. They just kind of roll over as kind of like a subscription. And I'm trying to rethink of like, what would it be like to have the client like set a goal that we work towards meeting? And I'm not even sold on that idea, honestly. I don't really know. I'm just starting to like reconceptualize, like if I were to offer a package, do we set a goal at the beginning that they try and meet? But I also really love helping them where they're at. And it's not like I don't know their goals and their long-term stuff. Obviously, I have some knowledge of that. But I'm just curious if you can help me think through that. And I don't really know what kinds of coaching styles exist when it comes to that either. I've always just a little bit done my own thing. So
yeah. There's a couple of schools of thought around this, right?
Like, yeah.
There's the solution focused, goal oriented types that love a goal and that's all they're about. And then there's those of us who sort of see a goal as incidental to growth.
I would say I'm solution focused on a session by session basis.
Yep.
Like we make sure to establish, we set up what is this call about and what do you want to get out of today? But from a larger picture ongoing, I don't do that as clearly. Sorry, I interrupted you, but.
Well, I guess I was just going to ask Steph, like what's the driver for looking at goals? What's got you thinking about doing this? It sounds like it's a shift from how you're working now.
Yeah, well, for one, I think I am interested in exploring like what tangible results people get from coaching. It's increasingly hard to sell coaching, I would say. I have had very few new clients in the last year. And so I'm kind of rethinking, like maybe this open-ended, like, hey, work with a coach approach. And obviously that's not how I sell it, but like, I'm just kind of thinking like maybe there's something to bring to the table there. Yeah. And I had a colleague say like, well, I would never work with a client forever. Like we work towards a goal and that's what we do. And I was like, whoa, like I hadn't even, like, this is just so different from how I think. And so, and I really respect her. And I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. What would that look like for me? And I'm also considering going from kind of this open-ended subscription model to maybe a package. And then if it's a package, what does that look like? So there's just a lot of wheels turning about how to change things for 2024.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's something in there around our clients looking for, or prospective clients looking for outcomes.
I think that's part of it too. But I also just wonder, like, would my clients get different, better, worse results if we were more like goal driven, as opposed to what I find happens with my clients is like each individual session, they get value. But when they look at the arc of our work together, it's, I mean, obviously they've changed and they've grown, but it's less like there's an A and a B. And I don't know that I care that much about that. I'm a little bit rambling. I'm sorry, but it's just some things I'm thinking about.
Well, and I don't know if folks are listening, experience this, but I think we get really obsessed with outcomes, don't we? We want a fucking result. I want to know what I'm paying for. And there's something about, I sort of put that in the same bucket as certainty. Right? So certainty is something that we're constantly seeking, even unconsciously. And it's almost impossible to hold because we can't really be certain about very much.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something about for me personally, I just think goals, outcomes, results tend to be overblown.
Mm-hmm.
And for most clients, there's a sort of tangible, intangible aspect to what they actually say at the end of a coaching relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes there is the big shifts that are external and that are easy to measure. And yes, I changed jobs, or I got a new job, or I started a business, or I, you know, started dating or got divorced or whatever the thing is, right? But often it's like, well, I just feel less crap, you know, or I kind of like my life now, you know. So those things, I think, are way more valuable.
Yeah.
Right? And quite difficult to measure. They're not smart, right? They're not like smart goals.
Totally. You know? I'm not going to that extreme. Yeah, yeah. I guess, and if we took marketing out of it, because I think there's so much toxic result stuff in marketing, right? So let's just assume that marketing is not what we're talking about. But it's still like in that onboarding, and I'm going, okay, so like this is, I tend to talk about like, what do you want your lifestyle to be like? What does your business, because I'm a business coach, what does your business need to do to provide that lifestyle for you? Sometimes I'll say like, what does that mean financially? What does that mean? Like how many hours a week and whatever. But then it's almost like I know that's in my head. And then I just keep that frame for the rest of our work together.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not. I have a question in my pre-call form that they fill out every week that was like, what was your original goal? How close are you to meeting that goal? No one ever friggin' fills out the form. So it's something I need to revisit. But I kind of always had in my head, like, maybe their goal. I don't know. I just kind of thought maybe it's more goal oriented when I kind of made that. But.
Well, I guess that's the thing to, I think you're onto something here, Steph, which is, how does the client feel about goals? Right? Because some clients are going to be super goal oriented. And they're going to get a huge amount of satisfaction from reaching their goals. Now, mm-hmm. arguably, we could say, well, to grow, it might be about something more than that. You know, who are you becoming rather than mm-hmm. what are you doing kind of stuff, if they're interested in that, right? And the other, there may be other clients you work with who can't give a toss about a goal. It's not something that they care about. For some people, that will be because they don't trust themselves to deliver on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's kind of sneaky.
I'm our remembering this module now of SPCA. Yeah. now that you mentioned it.
Yeah. So you may want to have a, I think it's module 7. I think it's the one about, can't remember actually. I can find out. Or you can.
It's okay. I can find it.
Here we go. It's module 10. Nicola knows.
Nice.
But just have a, you may want to have a conversation with your client, like how important are goals to you and why? The why is the important bit, because then you'll get to know, oh, it's because then I get to be, you know, good and feel some of my worth is connected to what I'm producing. Or I don't love goals and it's because I don't trust myself. And then it's like, oh, that's interesting, right? That's useful for you as a coach. And I think the other part of this is the kind of shiny goals, like the goals that people will say, this is the thing I want, because there is a sense that, and that will give me these things. Validation,
A
sense of purpose, you know, pride, all of that sort of stuff. And actually, when we start looking at goals, they tend to, if they are kind of shiny goals rather than values-led goals, and this is about intrinsic motivators, which are your values, versus extrinsic motivators, which is what will everybody else, how great will everyone else think I am, right? Basically, that. Those those goals tend to sort of fall apart under a tiny bit of scrutiny.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad I asked this question, because my entire thing with coaching is like, there's no one way to do it for anybody. So like, why the frick didn't I think about asking them what they think about goals? Trying to build a program. Oh my, not that I'm trying to build a program. I don't know that I fully believe in that, but it's. Well,
and I would also say, like, I think particularly if you're working with business owners, there's a great opportunity to use goals as a vehicle. I sort of see them as the Dorito chip to get, it's the vehicle to get the salsa into the body, right? The salsa being the sense of, you know, healthy adult self. Sometimes the goal is a great Dorito chip, right? And I am pretty open about this in Self-Belief School, where I'm coaching with muggles and muggle business owners, although there are lots of coaches in there. we're going through a process at the moment of a 6-week goal just to see. But of course, the conversations we're having around that is, well, why aren't you doing the thing you need? You know, you need.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What kind of action are you not taking? Why is that? Let's use that as a way of uncovering some of those protective beliefs. You know, all of that stuff. So, you know, yeah. And I'm always saying to people, look, I care so much more about your growth than your goals, but your goals are, you know, I'm 100% behind you, and I couldn't give a toss. Like, I can hold both of those things at the same time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and well, that's exactly the courage-based planning, right? Is like, yeah, helpful for like, okay, sure, we'll set a goal, but then why are you not doing the things? And
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
heck yeah. I'm so glad I asked this. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Sounds cool. I just think as well, like, you're so right that there is no one way to do this. And I often, my supervisor always says, you know, the three things that we'll say to coaches is, have you asked the client? Can you name what's going on? And there's one other one that she puts. It's probably you, like, as in you, the coach, right? They tend to be the things to start with. You know, yeah. So it's a, I think you're totally onto something around just asking your clients and keep asking them too, right? Because as they evolve through working with you, their relationship with a specific goal and themselves as a person who achieves or doesn't achieve goals is going to also evolve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Okay.
And it can, honestly, sometimes it can be a case of, you know, tell them what they want and give them what they need, which is, you know, to be perfectly transparent, that's what I'm doing in Self-Belief School. It's like, yeah, you want a goal. That's great. Let's do that. But actually what I'm going to do underneath that is tell you that you've got this. It's fine. Of course, it's going to take a bit longer than you planned. Your plan may go out the window in week one. It doesn't mean a damn thing, right?
Yeah. And I've been doing a lot of clarity coaching with clients of like, what do you really mean by that? And I'm seeing like, that's really what I need to be doing with the concept of goals. It's like, what do you think a goal even is?
Yeah.
And what's your relationship to it?
Yeah. And what's your secret belief of what it is? Because sometimes it can just be a stick to beat yourself up with, right? It can be, yeah, I'm just going to set myself a really high standard and then I never have to be in the reality of trying to make something happen. I just can rest in the possibility and idealism of it.
Yeah.
Makes total sense. Like, none of this is, you know, all of it's kind of understandable stuff. It's just helping our clients to have a bit of a sense of humor about all the crazy shit we do to ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you.
Does that help you, Steph? Yeah.
Oh, it helps heaps. Because the truth is, I don't have to build something for every person, which is obviously way easier. I'm also totally going to write an article about this, like I do with all of my epiphanies. And I think it's really good. Just a really good reminder that I don't need to build something that fits for every client, which is truly why I don't believe in these like signature systems and all of that stuff. But like, yet they're so tempting when business isn't going well, to be like,
right?
Yeah,
because it's basically saying all of your confusion goes away. I can give you certainty, right? Use my signature system. But what we forget is, well, it worked for you, but I'm not you. I'm not you. And you might not be able to work with me because I'm different for you and I don't fit your signature system. And that's the bit that I think a lot of business coaches miss is, it worked for you that one time. That's fab, right? Go you.
Oh, yeah.
But also, can you work with a broad range of clients who don't have the same, you know, background, history, privileges, marginalizations, you know, beliefs as you? Can you do that? Because that, I think, is where the real sexy stuff
Absolutely.
Is.
Yes, that's heck yeah, that's my goal. And people work with me typically because I'm more neurotypical, solid, linear, and they're typically, you know, ADHD tendencies and all over the place and all of that. And so they work with me not because of what worked for me, but because I can be that like solid presence for them. And yeah, this just makes perfect sense. This is why I come to these calls.
And I think as well, Steph, you can play that up, right?
Yeah.
You don't need a signature system because of these reasons.
I've written a post about that.
Right? Like, you are an individual, unique, one-off expression of the universe manifest in this being, right? Yeah. With all of your foibles and traits and characteristics and histories and, you know, non-typical ways of seeing the world. Let's work with that and create a system that helps you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think, what we all, because that's, oh, you see me. It's also a little, you know, edgy. Oh, this, you mean I can tailor make it for me? That means I kind of have to show up and do it, right?
Yeah. As a coach, too, I mean, another plug for supervision, because it means you can't just rely on your same system with every client and then blame the client when the system doesn't work. Like, you got to be there for them, their whole selves, whatever shows up. That's what I love doing, but it's edgy.
So good. Thanks, Steph. That was a great question. Love it.
Thank you.
Love it. Okay, we got Nicola and then Lisa. Hey, Nick.
Okay. Hi, Sass. Hi, everyone. All right, I've got two, so I'm choosing. I think the one I want to go with is, it's about this idea of working when you have a hunch that you're sensing a client's blind spot. And just the context was, I like listening to Glennon Doyle's podcast, We Can Do Hard Things. And sometimes the three, like Glennon, Amanda, and Abby, have these conversations. And it was really interesting because it's like one of them, I just want to give you context and then dive in, but like one of them, for example, really struggles to rest, like huge overfunctioner. And then they were trying to help her think about how to feel like kind of safer to rest. But it's like the very way she's approaching it is still highly analytical, overworking. So it's like we could hear that. And then they brought Martha back on and Martha did parts work and helped her kind of get under. Because otherwise it was like they were just spinning, getting deeper into the rut. And then I heard Abby, whose struggle is she feels like she's never really felt worthiness and self-love. But then literally you hear her beating herself up. What's wrong with me that I can't even love myself? So it's like I could hear from the outside the looping. And so I just was curious to hear your thoughts on how to help them do the work, or when you would offer a hunch, or just that terrain of blind spots and a bit when it gets a bit meta.
Yeah, such a good question. And I think that's the reason it's a blind spot, is because it's so meta. It's unconscious. You can't, it's like, it's the water you're swimming in. So you can't see it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's also, it's all around you often, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the way I tend to work with this is really to check my thinking around it. So you've got a hunch, right? Like in a hunch is, another word for a hunch is an assumption.
Yeah.
Usually it's an intuitive assumption. And yeah. I think you can totally trust it, but then keep an eye out. Is it, you know, is it validated over time? Is it a pattern?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can reflect it back to the client and just say, hey, I've noticed this pattern. What do you think? Does this feel familiar? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
See what they think.
Yeah. Like almost just simple, like without imposing it, just a simple reflection.
Yeah. I'm noticing this thing you do. I wonder if that feels like a pattern. Does it feel like something you do? Often people will say, oh my God, you know, that's where I get accused of witchcraft, right? How are you in my head kind of stuff. And it's like, well, I'm just observing you over time and noticing these things about you.
Yeah.
And people will tell us who they are a squillion different ways if we're listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think our hunches are great. And I'm that feeling of something I should pay attention to. It's a great, that spidey sense, I think, is a really great thing to pay attention to, because mm-hmm. it's often onto something. It might not be exactly the thing we think it is, but it's something. And it's, mm-hmm. I think we need to pull on those threads a little bit. But I think you just need to make sure that it's not like just a spare piece of cotton, right? Like that it actually has a thread to pull on it. And that's the thing I tend to do, is just notice it and then see over time
mm-hmm.
what's happening. And the other thing I would just say about that is, even if it is a blind spot, mm-hmm. it may be like those unconscious biases, another word for blind spot, are often a source of safety for us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they can be a source of identity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so if we're getting into the level of identity, like, this is me, this is not me, then that can feel quite confronting, to feel like, does that mean there's something wrong with me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm always pretty quick to reassure people, like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm noticing that there is this pattern. It feels like it's protective or something like that, rather than this is your personality, right? This is who you are. Like, I think it can be really good to just have that little gap.
Mm-hmm. You
know? This seems to be how you respond to this type of context or situation. Does that feel like a pattern to you? You know,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's so interesting that there is this pattern, and I wonder who you might be without it.
Ooh.
Is it working for you? You know, because sometimes I think we go, well, that's a shit show. If I was you, I would be wanting to get rid of that straight away. You know, I'd be wanting to really challenge the beliefs around that. But for the client, it might be quite, you know, precious to them. It might be something that is actually a source of real safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like that, Sass. Like, I'm following, just again, owning it. Trusting ourselves, but being very careful and cautious to not like impose an assumption, but that respectful checking out, reflection, and also that reassurance of, again, honoring it as a protective pattern. And I just love that sensitivity around like core all the way to identity and just that respect. And I was enjoying the Belief Buster advanced call and thinking again about sometimes that could be an avenue to then help them slow it down, see the coherence of how that plays. But I just was like, yeah, it's a tricky one when, like you say, it's almost like it's the water I swim in. I can't really see it very easily. So,
and props to you for being able to listen to Glennon Doyle. Because I'm embarrassed. It's like, stop. Stop giving unqualified people a platform.
Well, it's true that there's points where I'm like, some of it I love. And it's true that there's a couple of those where I was like, when they even said, we're like the blind leading the blind. And it's like, yes.
Yeah.
Ones I love.
Millions of women are listening to you. So best you stop saying stuff.
It's funny that I really have the SPCA lens so attuned, where it's like, oh, hearing like over and under functioning patterns. You know, it's interesting. But it's
also the difference, right, between I'm in therapy versus I am a therapist, right? I
think
that is like, for me, it's like, can people please understand the difference?
Like, for sure. Yeah. What was I going to say, though? But it was still interesting because, you know, it's one thing when you're in the coach role, but because it's like the earbuds, it's sometimes almost easier to hear. You have enough distance that then it's easier to catch some of that stuff. But then it brought me back to thinking, if I were coaching them, how would I want to be skillful to offer that reflection. So
just as you're speaking, I'm just reminded that you said that Martha Beck came on and offered some parts work stuff, and that is another way in, right? Rather than saying that it's a pattern, it's like, it sounds like there's a part of you that is doing this, right? So, and it's like, and you know, what does that part of you feel, want, trying to have happen, and what are the other parts around you around that you could, you know, bring in?
And it was almost like, because I know you have some of that IFS training too, as does Martha, and I did some preliminary training with them. It's true. It's another avenue, because sometimes it's like, it could be for some people a way in. It's almost like, again, another variation of sort of getting under the hood. Like if they keep spinning on the surface, to go into the nuance and other multiple parts, there's more room for the multiplicity, the part that's driving a pattern, as well as, you know, what else is there. So yeah, it was definitely like Martha got her, and she owned a hunch too. I think she did reflect in a similar way to you, a certain respectful directness that then it's like, would you be willing to explore what else is possible, or, you know, that kind of same segue, but very respectful and letting them direct.
I think whenever we're looking at anything that's in the realm of identity, anything where it's like, this is me or this is not me, then it's consent is really important, because otherwise what happens is the survivor self will come in and defend that identity, and then it's not, then nothing's coachable, right? So it's like you're gently just probing through the consent, using consent to kind of get to, well, what are these parts? What's going on here?
That's what I want to leave room for Lisa, but that's what I was thinking too, because, you know, I was coming back to that idea again of subject object shift. Yeah. When we offer it, especially if they have enough healthy self and enough regulation to see it or to hear and almost see through your own eyes, that those are such gifts when those happen. Or as you say, okay, if you get a lot of resistance, then that is more a sign, like you're saying, of like, wow, just how much safety or identity and how to respectfully. Do you have any tip on that, just in case, if you were like, whoa, it's almost like you're getting way more defensiveness, because obviously if they are sort of like, oh yes, I see the pattern, and then you go,
yeah,
anything else if you're like, you just sense, wow, there's a lot of resistance here?
You'll know it's identity, and therefore it will be defended, if they say I am or I am not, or any derivative of that, right? Where they're kind of either claiming or rejecting something that you're offering.
Yeah, to a level of self-concept. Okay.
Yeah. But I would say, you know, that subject-object shift, that's when we bring our blind spots out into the light.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
People got them, and it's a pain in the ass when you realize, oh my God, how can I have not seen that?
Oh, and it gets annoying. I can see my own too, where it's like, I'm overthinking to try to solve my overthink. You know, I know it. I can see it in myself too. So I do know it can get, it can be sort of frustrating terrain.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, Steph, as well. Just offering in the chat. I've had it where they don't see it when I bring it up, but when they notice it between sessions and come back saying, oh, now I get it. So that, because that can be a thing too. It's like, oh, I'm seeing this. Do you see this? Like, oh, well, maybe it's, you know, my perception, you know, and see if it lands. Like if it lands, they will come back with it, you know?
It's almost like a seed. I've dropped it. I don't need to push it. If they don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, everyone. I'll leave room for Lisa, and I'll put my question over in the reflection board.
Thanks, Sarah. Sorry for that. Thanks, Nick. Really good to see you. Lisa, how are you doing up there in deepest, darkest Herefordshire?
Yeah, it's starting to feel a bit like a hedgehog that wants to hibernate, actually. Hi, everyone. Sass, I have, you know, when you have those months where you meet the same kind of example of something a number of times, that's where we're at. One of them was my own experience and two with a client. And so the question, I actually wrote it down because I'm feeling sketchy on it. It keeps kind of slightly slipping out of my grasp. It's around supporting people when something big has wobbled their foundation. And so they're now meeting their self-doubt at on a level or a frequency that's way bigger than what they're used to experiencing. And I'm not entirely sure that there's an answer to this, because I think the answer is like the whole of SBCA or SBS. But I was just curious about your thoughts to give you a little bit of context. So where I met this month was it became necessary to draw a boundary with a very beloved family member, a boundary the likes of which I probably needed to draw as a teenager but wasn't able to. And it was huge. And my warrior was absolutely having none of not doing it. So it had to happen. And it was good and freeing. And I think that it was so big that it kind of rocked my foundation. Like, it was a really positive thing, but it rocked my foundation. And I found myself in like the week or two afterwards just experiencing self-doubt in a way that I just don't usually experience it, you know, in every facet of everything. It was like my protector was on steroids or something. And interestingly, this mirrored in a couple of clients, and I had a new client start who is feeling very similarly. She's just gone through the menopause and feels like it has just shaken her to her core, and is now in such massive self-doubt around her business, which she just didn't experience in the same way before. Similarly, another client, her youngest child has just started school, and she was really looking forward to having this space. And the opening up of the space and the huge shift of going from more than a decade of not having any space to having all this space is putting her in, it's just like rocketed her protector's activity. She's questioning every single thing, feeling watched, like just in big time self-doubt. And so my question was like, you know, there's no simple answer because this is the work. But I was just wondering if you have experience of that kind of real kind of pronounced exaggeration of the self-doubt activity and how you kind of sit with that yourself or with clients.
Yeah, what is it? Is there something astrological going on right now? it's mega. It's interesting because I totally relate, just to share personally, and then I get to more of the generalized stuff. So I'm currently in heart failure, apparently. That's the technical term. And I'm in this really weird place of having lots of tests, lots of medical interventions and, you know, pharmaceutical changes and all sorts of things going on. And it's just kind of shaken me. Like, I'm like, oh, I thought this was true, and now I'm realizing it isn't. And so it's those big shifts, and all three of the context that you've shared, your own drawing this big boundary that's been decades in the making, your client who's, you know, suddenly has all this freedom, one who's gone through the menopause and is you know, questioning everything around her business. Like, it strikes me that the thing that links all of our stories is that these aren't little things, and they are also slightly imposed, right? They're kind of conditions that we haven't chosen, for example. Excuse me. So that's always a little more confronting, right? Because even if we know it's a thing we want and are looking to, when we aren't really in charge of the thing, there is this kind of, you know, like you said, the foundations get rocked a bit. What I've found with clients who've particularly have had these big shifts happen, and it's been an imposed change, is that, and, you know, thanks to Nicola for bringing in the theme of identity, right, is that it's like I think what's really going on is that there is a level of trust either in ourselves and in our immediate world or in sort of the universe that gets shaken up a bit. It's like, oh, I can no longer be the person I thought I was, or I'm not able to trust that there is this constant, like something has changed and I can't unring the bell. I can't go back. I can only go forward.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like the landscape or the territory has fundamentally shifted.
Yes.
And I felt like it was, okay, reach for the compassion bucket because there needs to be some settling time for me. And then it's almost like that territory landscape needs remapping. So, because I feel instinctively that our protector can climb down when it knows, or at least climb down to normal levels when it knows, oh, okay, we're here. Like we've been plucked out of our territory and plonked in this new one, and it's like, okay, we need a map.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I love this metaphor because I think that's exactly, it feels like I'm now in a foreign land. And I don't really know who I am here, and I don't really know the terrain, yeah. Right? So, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I completely agree. Our protectors will calm down when they feel safe in this new place. And the getting to the safety bit is the bit that, you know, it's like we're learning to stand in this new place. And we're realizing, oh, I need new boots. I need different resources maybe than what I've had in the past. I need ways of supporting myself. Absolutely reach for the compassion bucket. But also, like, what are the beliefs that have been changed as a result of this? How are you adding unhelpful stories into the situation? You know, the kind of dirty pain, clean pain stuff, you know? The clean pain is, this has happened and I feel this about it. The dirty pain is, this has happened, I feel this about it, and it means this about me, right? Which is like adding in an unhelpful story on top of the context. And the thing about those big life shifts is that often what we do is put our energy into escaping where we are, trying to leave without leaving sort of thing, like pretend it's not happening or numb out in some way. We try to claw back the thing that was. And usually that, after a while, that isn't an option. And the faster way through is to check in, like, how am I feeling? What do I need? How am I feeling? What do I need? Like, asking those questions, it's like the path through to creating new safety. Because as you're asking and answering those questions, sometimes on an hourly basis, you're paying attention to yourself. It's very much about self-acceptance, right? It's that very much in that place of, you know, my emotions and my needs. And it helps you to adjust to the new territory because you're just being in the reality of it and what that's drawing out of you. Rather than, you know, trying to take everyone else or, you know, escape into something else or collapsing altogether and the scapegoat kind of thing. So staying in that place of acceptance of yourself in this new territory is, I think, often the fastest way through.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I think I felt slightly torn with the client whose child has just started school because I've worked with her for a little while, and for the first time I was hearing some of the protective beliefs really strongly. And it was tempting to say, cool, let's dive into that. And I kind of held back in the last session because I felt we just put a pin in that in the end. We named what was being said, but put a pin in it because I just felt like without mapping the territory and helping the protector climb down a little bit, I can imagine that being a bit of a cat fight over the belief, because my God, the protector probably really wants to hold on to that one right now.
Yeah, and it's almost like a control mechanism of a survivor strategy, right? If I can, you know, it's like a distraction technique in some ways, you know, trying to control what's not controllable. Yeah. Whereas being in it is about, you know, how am I feeling right now? What do I need? Because we want to think our feelings a lot of the time, right? And control what's going on. And I think you know, really, this is about kind of primal safety stuff, and that's in the body. That is needs and emotions. So yeah, I think as well, it depends on the client. If they're kind of under functioning and tend to be all about the feelings, sometimes it's like, what do you need to do for yourself right now? And for others who are, you know, really thinky and doy, then it can sometimes be, you know, how do you feel right now? So, you know, very much client specific, but just know that in answer to your bigger question, is this typical when those big shifts are happening? Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. It's the protector is like, whoa, there's so much more to be freaked out about, right? So let me go overboard. Let me make you worry about all the things, because this one thing has happened, particularly when it's not something you can control. This thing has happened. That means anything could happen. So, you know, I think anything you can do to calm that protector down is going to help. Sometimes that's going to be, you know, body stuff too, you know, the kind of regulation work. How can you regulate yourself? What's the best way? What's your favorite way to chill out, relax, come back to your body? Those can be questions that people may not have even ever contemplated, you know. And you can do it in a session with a client. Oh, can you, here's a way, just put your hand on your heart, close your eyes, just scan your body, you know. And it's like, might feel a bit weird if you haven't done it before. You might not know what I mean by scan your body, right? Like, you can go back to the basics of it, but what you're doing is giving them a place to rest in the new territory.
Yeah, so helpful. And Sas, I guess that leads me to think about the person who's really freaking out about her business having come through the menopause, or, well, I mean, she's still obviously in flux in that change. I guess I wasn't entirely sure where the starting point was with her. Like, she's so stressed out about the self-doubt that's coming up in relation to her business and seems to just really want to focus there. But again, I had that sense of, we need you to help you regulate. But with a new client, you know, she's come because she's got self-doubt around her business.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, do you see, I'm kind of like torn between, it's like, which way do we lean first? Do you have any sense from what I've said?
What do you think is the reason that she's stressed?
I think, like lots of small businesses, she's experiencing a downturn at the moment. What she offers is like a non-essential thing, like most of us, right?
Yeah.
And she's making lots of meaning out of that. And I think because her protector is really overactivated, she's not finding she can lean into the usual beliefs or approaches that she would usually. She just feels so kind of rocked that it's making it feel impossible to kind of address this downturn in the business, because all her protector wants to do is be like, hide, don't sell anything, don't offer anything. Like, it's going majorly into scapegoat bystander combo.
Yeah. Well, and I think as well, because she's a new client, she may be like, right, last resort, work with a self-doubt coach, just get me the hell out, of this territory, right? I do not want to be here, right? When in actual fact, you know, that's arguing with reality, which can be even worse, right? So you may even want to spend some time just sort of, you know, playing with, okay, what is your self-doubt saying? You know, what is going on? Because the thing is that we think, I guess we don't tend to go, when we're in that panicky place, we don't tend to go into, well, how does this make sense?
Yeah.
Right? And it's her business, and that's a source of her financial security, which is a source of her psychological safety. So at the moment, that's feeling threatened. Makes total sense that she's going into a bit of panic mode and a bit of stress mode. So it's almost like, you know, let's validate where you're at to start with, you know, and kind of like, it's okay. Whatever happens here, you're going to feel more resourced. And the external circumstances don't really need to change for you to feel more resourced. Because when you are a bit calmer and you can see it as a, you know, it's an external thing that we're then being with, you'll have more creativity to see how can you respond to these conditions rather than shit, hide, which is actually going to exacerbate the situation.
Yeah. You've just helped me see, Sass, that there's almost like a kind of two new territories here. It's the new territory of her postmenopausal self, and it's the new territory of the business being in a different place and sitting with the meaning that she's making. And I think that the kind of collective meaning she's making is something around, I shouldn't even be in business, or like, what's wrong with me? That kind of like big stuff. And I think, yeah, actually sitting in all of those meanings and the other possible meanings is probably the right place for our next session.
And I was just going to say, you know, the business stuff is enough, right, for our protectors to go crackers. That she is also finding her own, like, biochemistry. Who she knows herself to be is shifting and changing. That's totally imposed. She has no say on any of that. So there's two big kind of, I imagine the sort of, you know, herself and her business have been kind of like identity markers for her. And, you know, just really want to acknowledge what Nick's saying in the chat, that there are losses here. Grief is present here, right? So all of that is like, how are you feeling? You know, that makes sense. What do you need, right? It's all of that self-talk that can really help to just be in the place, in this new place. And, you know, I think as well, like, the fact that you can see all of this, and even though you're in it yourself, I think that is a gift for her too, because so many coaches would be like, shit, let's get a plan in place, right? Let's get a new strategy, and because that would terrify me too, right? Because the coaches get super entangled and miss completely the opportunity to see what's actually going on, because that is often, you know, where we get entangled is often our own blind spots, right? So I love how these things keep repeating. So it's that thing, right, of being able to say, oh, actually, you know, it may well be that your business needs to do some pivoting, but let's actually do that from a place of feeling excited. You know, we're moving towards something rather than the energy of trying to escape something, which is always the, you know, the worst place to create from.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's resource first. Let's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even I think sometimes letting clients know when they're in that place, maybe a couple of times. Okay, so what I think might help is this. You know, let's be where you are, get you feeling a bit more resourced so that this can happen, right? Rather, and sort of give that arc of the relationship. That can really help. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so helpful. Thank you, Sass. I feel like I kind of got like three in one there.
But it's exactly the thing, what Nick's saying here, you know, soothing the nervous system, the tiny stuff. When you're stressed, the big moves are really freaking hard, right? You want to do the big moves when you're super in your healthy adult self and like, yep, I'm committed. Whatever happens, I can cope with it, right? If this fails, okay, we'll move to the next thing. It's okay. Like there's no, you know, there's no kind of loss of self here. It's, and that can only happen when you do the tiny stuff first.
Yeah, so true. And yeah, and I'm also kind of reflecting that when I'm in that place, it's not always the easiest thing to accept that the resourcing and the regulating is the first place to go.
No.
And we have to be that like really irritating coach that's going to be like, okay, I know you want a plan, honey, but first this, right?
Yeah. It's been so funny to witness myself going, what's the fucking strategy? Right? Like, just tell me, what's the whole thing? You know, how do we fix this heart, you know? And actually what I really need to do is kind of go, oh, okay, this feels a bit edgy, breathe, you know, and the tiny stuff, you know, and it's one step at a time and it's the NHS, so it's slow and it's not happening, you know, quick enough. But, and no one has the big strategy. I've got three different departments that I'm having to coordinate. So it's that thing of, oh, but that's the reality. So I can fight it or I can figure out a way to resource myself in it.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I'm feeling really strong, then we can make bigger decisions. Yeah. But yeah, it's so irritating to go to the little steps first. But, and that's, I think, the natural inclination is we just want to move to the big stuff because that's it sort of seems easier, but it actually isn't. If we can't do the little stuff, we can't even hope to cope with the big stuff.
Yeah. Yes, and just acknowledging you in this.
Well, I'm good. Like I'm processed, you know, processed that part of it. So I'm happy to share. You know, I won't share unless I'm good with it. So, yeah. But yeah, that feels really clean to me to share. And, you know, maybe it is the astrology. I don't know. I know a lot of people who are like going through this big stuff.
Yeah. Hasn't it been for months now? Like, can the planets just calm down, please?
Yeah. It's age of Aquarius now, isn't it? So we're like, everything gets cleaned out. Yeah.
Thank you, Sass.
You're so, so welcome. Yeah, it is. Everything's getting shaken up. Yeah. Totally. And the world is even more confusing than it was 6 months ago, if that's possible. The aliens are coming next year, so, you know, that's going to be great. Yay. You heard it here first. loves, this has been great. I'm so glad we got to do this. I also mentioned this in this morning's class. I'm thinking, and give me a show of hands if this sounds good to you. I'm thinking that it might be fun to meet up and do like a review of the year as a group, like just a little reflection process. Nothing too strenuous, and you know, it'll be like bring a mince pie and a cup of tea kind of deal. But I thought that might be fun. So I'm getting some nods, heads nodding. So, okay, cool, good. Right, we will do that in the next couple of weeks. So I'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Sass, can I ask one more logistics thing?
Yeah, of course.
And sorry if I missed it. And I know you're trying to figure out time zones. Will you at some point, do you think in December, put out a loose map for these ongoing circles just so we can anchor those in?
Totally. Yes. Okay. If you're in the States and Canada, this works beautifully. The time zone is excellent. And actually in the UK, it's not bad either. It's me that's going to be getting up at stupid o'clock or staying up super late and being like, what? I can't even remember my name. Still asking awkward questions. So, but I will definitely figure that out. The time zone, the times will change, but what I'm hoping is it will work as you know, it has been. So. All good. Fab. Okay, loves, take care of yourselves and I will see you all in a few weeks, hopefully, at this end of year reflection. Okay, cool. Thanks, everyone. Nicola, do you want to stay on? Yeah?